Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready.
Good evening, everybody. Raps on TV here again for another edition on a Thursday evening. Thank you for listening. And we're here, we have our usual panel with us. Guys, do you want to say hello?
Hey, Stinaz, good to be back, guys. Looking forward to the show.
Yeah, Shedam, thank you very much, guys, for calling in and dialing again. And hope you enjoy the show.
Perfect. So, guys, we have a treat for you today. We have a special guest, fresh off his great performance victory in Wembley last week. We have O'Hara Davis. O'Hara Davis, welcome to the show.
It's good to be here.
So I do appreciate you guys coming in. Obviously, talk about your career so far and the great performance last night, last week, sorry. So do you want to just talk about the fight last weekend and how you're feeling after taking that the WBC belt?
Last weekend, that was a good fight, a tough fight. I trained really hard for it. I was quite nervous for that fight, but I trained hard and I done what I had to do to get the win. Since the fight, I've just been out enjoying my life. I felt like in camp, I didn't have much of a life, a social life at all. I was just gym in the morning, bed in the evening, and then gym again in the evening, and then same thing again in the morning. So I didn't have a life for like months I was in camp for. So now I'm just glad that I get to have a bit of social life again and just really like being able to eat what I want to eat. Yeah. Like doing what I want to do for quite a while. So,
talk to us about, you said social life number one and eating what you want to eat number two. So what are you getting reacquainted with? Which type of burgers? Which type of
I've been out to McDonald's. I've had a Big Mac meal. Last night I had a Happy Meal. Been out to Honest Burger. I've been out to KFC. Been out to the bagel shop.
Wow.
Been having apple crumble and custard.
It's not even been a week yet.
Yeah, you're making up for lost time.
I've been having apple crumble and custard. So just all that kind of, just loads of carbs.
The good stuff.
Exactly.
The good
stuff. That's what we've been feasting on. That's our diet. So you're welcome to the diet of champions. You know. So I know Inam has probably got a fight, question for you.
Yeah. So what are you doing in your spare time, Mara? What does O'Hara do in the weekends when he's not training and when he's not getting ready for a fight?
When I'm not training, to be honest, I wake up and I'm a bit confused. Like, I'm used to being in the gym so much that once the fight's all done, I'm a bit confused. I get up and I'm like, what, there's no gym today? Like, what am I meant to do? So I look for something to do. I'll phone my friends and see what they're up to. Then we just go get food. That's what we do. Right? Yeah. We meet up, go get food. I've got a girlfriend now, so
nice.
Like, while I've been in camp, we haven't had time to see her or speak to her as much. So now that, well, when I met her, I was in camp, in the middle of camp. So it was hard. Like, whenever we, anytime we met, we couldn't go out to eat because I had all my meals already made for me, so I had to put it in the microwave. And but now, like, I'm just looking forward to going, seeing them, just being able to do what we want to do, eat what we want to eat, go bed what time we want to go bed, and just being normal. I'm just enjoying.
Yeah, we see the stamp that you put on Facebook that you're in a relationship. Yeah, we see that.
I had to let everyone know that she's mine.
So any female callers that are listening and have any additional questions, then you know what it is. You know, he's the man he's spoken, he's taken for.
Yeah, we're not having it on Raps On.
not at all. Sorry, no, nothing like that. So Dinez, question for yourself?
Well, I had a question ready, but now I want to know, where's the best burger joint in London?
I'd say Honest Burger.
Honest Burger.
It's the best I've had so far.
Check that place out later.
Mm-hmm.
But aside from that, so you're saying now you're getting reacquainted with your, you know, your regular life, your social life, the diet and stuff. Yeah. How long does that kind of last until you go back into camp? Is it when a fight's announced, or do you just kind of stay busy after a couple of weeks off?
Because I fought 5 times this year, I haven't had much time off. Like, after my fight in Germany on October the 1st, I literally had 7 days off, and I had to get back into camp to fight a month later.
All right. Back to back.
Well, now I'm a 12-round fighter now, so my fights are going to be more rounds, and so camps are going to be a lot more longer, which also means I'll fight less frequently. Mm-hmm. So Like, now I want to have at least 3 weeks off. Okay. Like, we got Christmas coming up. I haven't had Christmas in 2 years because of I fought at the end of January, 2 years in a row. So this, after this fight, I just want like 3 weeks off, just being able to do what I want to do, and then I'll get back into light work in the gym. My training's only going to be light, and then just see what's next. But
so, any holidays planned with these 3 weeks that you've got off?
Nah, no holidays planned.
Just spend time with the missus.
Yes,
Christmas.
Yeah,
the biggest Christmas. Holiday there is.
Yeah, that is
Christmas
true.
And yeah, probably. Next year.
How many fights do you want to fight now going forward?
Three times a year we're doing. Three times a year. As a maximum, three times a year. Because especially like in the 12-round fights, it's a lot different being in camp for it. Especially after my last fight, I felt like I'd done everything too fast because I went on a holiday. As soon as I came back, I got right back into camp for a 12-round fight and it was a shock to me. It was a shock because I didn't get warmed up into camp. I got straight into it. And like now, I just want to take my time, have a bit of fun in the gym, and then get into it gradually.
Yeah, I suppose it was a serious fight for you as well.
It was.
You know, and what does this fight do for you in terms of rankings?
I think on BoxRec, I'm number 8. I'm number 3 in the country.
Yeah, that's right.
Number 26 in the world. But I think with the WBC, it puts me in the top 5 or the top 10 in the world ranking. So, yeah.
But there's been a lot of criticism about, you know, how the fight's gone. Yeah. And I mean, I thought personally, I thought it was a flawless fight, mate, to be honest. Yeah. You know, like 120, 108. I mean, you can't do better than that, really, unless it's a KO. Yeah. But I mean, in the show that we've done before, it's all right. I was predicting a late stoppage for a couple of reasons. Yeah. I saw the guy's got, you know, you know from his record, you can see he's tough, and you got very high KO ratio. So I'm thinking it's going to be a late stoppage. Yeah. But how tough was this guy?
The guy had a chin. The guy definitely had a good chin. I caught him with a few. Actually, when I noticed that I'm not going to knock him out within round five, I caught him with a shot in round five, and the guy's chin literally turned back, and he came right back to me. And from then, I was like,
12 rounds.
This guy's got a chin. This fight is going to go the whole 12 rounds. And then I'm thinking to myself, like, OK, I've never been past round six before, and I've been to round six once. So how am I going to handle the whole rounds? So I was a bit on edge, which is why I kept in gear one the whole fight. I stayed in gear one and I never came out of gear one because I didn't want to go open up, end up getting tired, and then get stopped.
Exactly.
Obviously, I've never been past round six, so just being safe, I kept in gear one. I'm not going to open up, possibly get tired, and then fight gets ended. So I've heard about in boxing, it's all about being smart. If you can win a fight in gear one, you win the fight in gear one. A lot of people wanted me to open up, throw more punches, but I'm thinking if I open up, I throw more punches, I'm leaving myself open. So if I can win the fight on a jab, I will win the fight on a jab. I take as less hits as you can, give as much hits as you can. I knew that I wasn't going to go and knock him out from round five, so I've just thought I'm going to jab him, I'm going to get the points, and I'm going to get the points, and that's what I've done. But a lot of people wanted to see me go in there, open up, possibly get caught or get knocked out, but that's not what I'm on like just being a smart boxer, a smart fighter. If I can win the fight on a jab, I stayed in gear one the whole fight against a champion. Yeah. I've just gone up in weight class. I fought against the current champion, and I made it look easy. I fought him in gear one. That guy's good. He came to fight. You saw what he done to when he fought John Wayne Hibbert. So I worked him out. I looked at what he could do good, and that's what I took away from him.
Yeah, he had a 19-win streak. Yeah.
Precisely, and I mean, I have to be honest. Yeah. So my take on the fight, obviously we were there.
Yeah.
I thought it was a tough performance from Scarpa. I thought it was a tough fight for yourself as well. Yeah. Again, when I scored every round in your decision, Scarpa's unbeaten since 2011. He's a tough fighter. He wasn't going to let the belt go easily. Yeah. In my mind, I think that you knew that you had to play that game in terms of your strategy. You had to keep him at length. You had the range. Yeah. He didn't really want to engage until the later rounds, I felt.
Yeah.
So then you caught him with a good couple of uppercuts. Yeah. But I was actually impressed with your chin because I felt that you got hit with at least two or three big shots from him. And I won't say they stumbled you, but I could see that you felt them. Yeah. But then you were smart. You either clinched up, you know, in terms of close down the range. Yeah. So I thought it was a really good performance from yourself. And I think, you know, it's the first time you fought 12 rounds.
Mm-hmm.
So moving forward, would your training be any different from how you trained for this fight?
I feel like depending on who I fight, the training is always going to be different. Depending on who I fight, I look at what they do good and look at how I can take that away from them. And so depending on who I fight, the training is ultimately going to be different. On the technical side, on the fitness side, it'll be the same or even better because I only want to get fitter. But now I know that I can do the 12 rounds, so fighting, I'd be a lot more comfortable in there because I've done it before. It's not going to be something new to me.
Yeah.
In the fight, I got hit a couple of times. I did get hit and they did hurt.
Yeah.
A couple of times, but I was like, whoa.
Well, you're supposed to, right?
And because I'm used to literally going in there, banging everyone out, and then getting out of there. This guy came to fight. A lot of people say that he didn't have any ambition. He did have, and he did. The guy had heart.
Yeah.
If he beat me, he would have been. It would have been right up there.
Yeah.
So he didn't come here to come and get beat.
No.
But if you look at the fight, every time that he tried to throw a shot, they all missed me. I knew how to make his shots miss, and I knew what he likes to do is to fight on the front foot. He likes to throw shots on the front foot, so he likes to be attacking me.
Yeah.
So what he'll do, he'll literally go on the ropes, guard up while you're throwing your shots on the inside.
Mm.
Then when you get a bit tired, it's when he opens up and he throws and he attacks you. I knew that's what he does, which is why I didn't engage too much. I didn't attack him too much. I didn't come in too much to him.
Yeah.
But that's what he wanted to do. And then again, I didn't go too back. I wasn't ever on the back foot.
Mm.
So everything that he knew how to do, I took it away from him.
Yeah.
And then when he did throw shots, all the shots missed because I'm sharp. So he didn't know how to fight.
Yeah.
He didn't have a plan B.
Yeah.
And that's what I capitalized on. And with that, you can make the fight just look so easy.
And I think your own skill set, so you know, it's well known that you've got a great arm, you've got great reach, long arms.
Yeah.
I felt that actually kept him at bay as well, because when he was trying to come forward, you could actually put him off with a body shot, and he was just kind of startled.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think you just gauged the range so well, he just didn't know what to do. So for the first six rounds, I think he was just thinking, okay, coasting.
Yeah.
And then I believe he did it, he knew there was no chance of a knockout, and then he tried to sort of engage, but... For me, I think it was a clear win, and I think it was an impressive win because, you know, a lot of people talk about size and the opportunity. I think there were a lot of factors potentially going against you to put pressure on you for that fight, and you came out of it. I mean, tell me about how you feel about it. It's your first big show at an arena like Wembley Arena.
Every fight just feels all the same to me, to be honest. Like, it don't matter whether it's like main event or not. The only difference is the time that I fight. Like, when I fight at 5 o'clock, I usually only get time to have one meal. But this time I had to fit in another meal, and I'm trying to figure out how much am I meant to be eating.
Yeah.
So that was quite different. But once you get in that ring, it's the same.
Yeah.
The same as everywhere else. Like the crowd, I don't acknowledge anyone when I'm in the ring.
Mm.
It's just me and the person that I'm fighting against. It don't matter whether I'm fighting first or last.
Yeah.
It's just the same thing. It's just business. You just go in there and do what you know.
Yeah.
How did you find the 12 rounds, Hara?
To be honest, I was fit for this fight, so I found it easy. Only because I've been doing it in the gym. I've been like all my sparring for this, on that camp was good. I had good work, like the best work that I've had ever. The training was so hard. It was so intense. All the hill runs, and just everything. It was so intense that when Fight came, I was so fit. But then again, until you go there and you do it, you're not sure how fit you are.
Mm.
So now I know. That if as long as I train like that in the gym again, I'll be that fit again in my next fight.
What was the game plan? For this fight, what was the game plan?
The game plan was exactly what I done.
Right.
It was.
You've done spot on what you asked to do, basically.
Yeah.
You can't knock that then, can you, really?
Yeah.
Not at all.
Is it safe to say it's your toughest fight, though?
100%, my toughest
Definitely,
fight.
Yeah.
It's the only guy I thought that really came to win that had a lot to lose, because if he beat me, he'll be right up there.
Yeah.
So he had a lot to win.
Okay. Who do you want to fight next?
That's the last thing on my mind right now.
Yeah.
Thinking about a next fight date or thinking about who I'm going to fight next. I just want to enjoy my life. I haven't, and it's weird because I haven't felt like this yet in my boxing career. I've always, after my fight, I'm all thinking, so when's my next fight? When's my next fight? But this is my first time I'm thinking about this one, to enjoy life for a bit.
Mm.
And just like, because that camp was hard. And it's not hard, it's hard on the mind as well, mentally hard. And so I just think probably have a little break and then just. Still going to the gym. I'm still going to the gym. I'm still training, but have a little break and then to see what's next, see how I feel. But I'm not going to rush into anything.
I mean, you must be. You're in one of the best gyms.
Yeah.
For me, I think it's one of the best gyms in the UK. You know, you got Tony Sims, top coach. You got Anthony Joshua, probably the biggest star in UK boxing.
Yeah.
Ricky Burns is a world champ again. You know, three times world champ. Conor Benn. What's it like working with these guys?
It's good. Like we all push each other, inspiring. We all help each other out. On our runs, it's all competition. Ain't no one helping out anyone in our runs.
Who wins? Who wins the runs?
Depends on different runs we do. When we do our We do a run that's like, I think is just under 1,000 metres. Martin usually wins that run. When we're doing like our sprints on the stairs, Connor usually wins that. So Connor's really good on the stairs. Ted's good on the stairs. Felix is good. I'm being honest, I don't come first in any of these runs.
Right.
I don't come first in any of these runs. These guys are too fast for me, but I still push myself. Yeah. You know, if you do 10 sprints, I try to win three of them. But those guys are really good at running. They know how to run.
Okay. So it's just not your style running, though?
No. I'm not far back, but
yeah,
I'm not usually first.
Okay.
But and in terms of this fight again, the good exposure from Sky,
yeah,
a great commercial was on Sky Sports 2, prime time. Mm. I mean, how did that make you feel? How did it make your family feel getting to see yourself?
I'm good. It's like a long time coming. I've been boxing for ages, and this has like been the goal and the dream from when I was really young. My goal.
Yeah.
My family are obviously really proud of me. It's been my goal and my dream from when I was young. So just I'm finally there now.
Yeah.
Achieving my goal that my young self would have been really proud.
Mm.
Like, yeah, like the young version of me, if you could look into the future and see this is you.
Yeah.
He would have been really proud. It was a great achievement. Yeah.
I mean, Scott made the whole big thing about, you know, your past and, you know, where you come from and stuff like that. You know, if you weren't doing boxing, if you didn't go into boxing, what do you think you'd be doing?
I would have been a drug dealer, which is what I was doing before I got into boxing.
Hmm.
And I don't think I would have stopped really.
Hmm.
I didn't finish my school. I got kicked out of every school I've ever been to, so my academically didn't have any qualifications.
Hmm.
So I couldn't get a job obviously. So the only thing I knew how to do was sell drugs, and that's what
you say. Boxing saved your life. That whole thing. Yeah.
Boxing did in the terms of I was getting arrested every day, every other day, going to court, and I was just on a bad road. But once I got into boxing, I didn't even have a vision like this, like I'm going to be a big boxer. I just liked it. I just liked to go in the gym, put on gloves and hit the pads.
How did you fall into boxing? What happened?
I was in a youth club, and that was in Hackney. And they had a coach that would go and come in a youth club every Wednesday and do pads with us. And that's how it started off. So from there, I went to the boxing gym, and then, now we're here. But that's how I started off. I just liked to hit the pads and hit the bags, and it wasn't anything about money or me going pro or me having fights. It was just I liked it. And then I sparred one time, I got beat up. I was so angry. I went home. I remember I took a long jog. I took a long way. I said, I'm going to come back and I'm going to beat that guy. And then I came back again. I got beat up again. But the same guys that used to beat me up, a time
what's his name?
Different people. They came where they would take weeks out of the gym, and they'll say months out of the gym, and I trained every single day.
Dang.
And then eventually
dedication.
Eventually I got them all back.
Yeah, good.
Eventually
good.
I got get
your revenge
back.
With the dedication.
So you were training at the youth club, but were you a fan of boxing as well? Like, did you?
Nah, I never watched
you
boxing.
Never watched boxing. Okay, we see that a lot with some boxers.
Boxing is nothing I was really into, and then when I did get into it, I started watching Floyd, the videos of the cars and TMT and the pad work.
Yeah.
That's when I wasn't a boxing fan, I was a Floyd fan. I still am.
And there's a lot, we have a lot of Floyd fans that are boxing fans.
Yeah, around the world, 100%.
Okay, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're going to switch things up a bit here now. We're going to do a quick fire round. Mm-hmm. Is that okay? So I'm just going to throw some statements out there. You just pick one or two, So we'll start with Broner or Crawford. Who would you prefer to fight if you had to fight one?
Who would I prefer to fight? Any of them.
Either of them,
Any of them.
You want to face both of them eventually?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. If you could fight anyone from history, who would it be?
Anyone from history.
Anyone. There's no right or wrong answer here.
Shane McGuigan. I don't really want to say much about him, but he's someone that I'd really like to punch in the face.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Is that in boxing rules?
If he was boxing, I know that he done amateur boxing, so
okay.
If he was both amateur at the same time, then
so lace up the gloves, all right then. That's interesting.
Nice.
Okay. Well, we already spoke about you didn't grow up watching boxing, but if you say that you get inspiration from a boxer, is there anyone you could point to?
Floyd Mayweather.
Floyd, Money May.
Yeah, he's the best. TBE.
Have you seen him fight before live?
Yeah, I've seen him fight once live. When he fought Guerrero, I think that was 2012.
Yeah.
Talk to us about that, because I understand, obviously, we know Theophane, and we understand that he was in the gym there working, and he kind of helped you out with some tickets. But just talk to us about how you got that exposure to the Mayweather gym.
The coach I was with at that time, he had a few links out there and Flair's gym. So we like he took me there for the first time and I was like in amazement. Like, wow, obviously I had to find a way to get like and like the money to take me there. Mm-hmm. But all my family and friends, like everyone put in a bit of money to get me over to the States. And yeah, so I went there, it was just amazing. Like I met 50 Cent, I went to 50 Cent's gym and like when we was all there, we went to Flair's gym, we sparred and yeah, actually, Fear Pain looked at me and he said, "Ah, oh, of everyone that I see here, like, when I see you go in there and you spar, I see you kind of stand out and you're putting in work. So I'm going to give you a gift."
Yeah.
Tickets were like $5,000 each. And I'm just thinking, like, this is a good man because he could have sold them.
Yeah.
He could have sold them and made a lot of money, but decided to give it to me for free. He didn't charge me or nothing. And I'm thankful till this day. And yeah, so I got.
And
to
is that something that maybe you, as an up and coming boxer, you know, in terms of you're no longer a prospect now, you've got a belt, you know, you are going to be a name with target with a target on your back.
Yeah.
Is that something that you would like to do yourself in terms of give back to a community or the community in terms of just helping out?
Not really a community, or I like to give to people that work hard, but haven't got the opportunities of someone that works hard but haven't got, like, let's say they work like that. If someone wants to box, they're good at it, they work hard, but they haven't got the money to get a pair of gloves. Like, I'll give them a pair of gloves kind of thing. But I wouldn't just go and help anyone, because some people don't work hard.
Yeah,
like some people are in a place that they're in because they don't work hard. But if someone works hard and they really want it, then 100%. I'll help anyone.
It's the acid test, isn't it? If you know that you see something, you spot something in yourself that I think Fear Fame probably said to you, because you know he went out there, started working hard, and then the guys over there sort of spotted him, and then he worked to get a contract. So in terms of working in that American gym, you know, in terms of training, I'm assuming a lot of bravado, a lot of people maybe potentially saying, "Let me test this guy." We've seen what happens in the doghouse. What was your experience of being in the doghouse?
It's different than it is here. In here, challenging. Like, in here, like, you go into the Metrium gym and everyone shakes your hand.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, "Oh, how's things? How you doing?" Like, it's a friendly gym.
Yeah.
But in Floyd's gym, it was totally different. I remember when I walked in there, I'm trying to say hello to everyone and no one even looks at me, like, and like no one even said hi back or anything. People were like, "Oh, so like, who's this guy?"
Yeah.
Like, "So where's he from? Is he from London? Like, are you trying to get some work?" So I'm like, "Okay, like, cool, like, so you're going to spar?" And like, yeah, we'll get changed and get in the ring. Everyone came around the ring and just saying, "Oh, are you going to get your ass whooped now? You're going to get your ass whooped." And like, then, but with me, I was always been quite outspoken, so I started to talk back, like, to everyone. I started saying, "No, like, I'm actually going to whoop ass. I'm not going to get my ass whooped. I'm going to whoop ass." And then I forgot who I sparred with, but I sparred and I done really good. So after that spar, it was more like, I'm a part of it now. Like, I'm a part of the gym family.
Did you make any friends there with anyone? Did you become close with anyone?
Yeah, I met Arjad there. I met Archie. I'm good mates with now.
Oh, okay. In the Mayweather gym.
Yeah, that's where we met.
Okay, what was he doing out there?
Don't know.
Okay,
I don't know. I met him out there. I think he went out there to go and learn to box, or just to go and train, or just as a tourist.
Yeah.
Yes, I met him out there. I met other fighters in Floyd's gym. You know, some of them I'm still in touch with now. Floyd's got a nephew who I still talk to, who I met out there. Jay Leon Love I met out there. And so met a few people out there that I still talk to every now and again.
Yeah, nervous. Great experience.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of, you know, obviously we're talking about the fight game.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen recently the massive gloves are off between, we've seen highlights between White and Chisora. And we had some exclusive footage which showed a bit more.
Yeah.
Who would you like to have a gloves are off with? And I think that you're somebody that can give as good as you get. So do you think that you would just dominate totally in terms of whoever is sitting against the table opposite you?
I don't know. Anyone, to be honest. I don't really mind.
Yeah.
It's going to be the same result when the fight comes. Like,
yeah.
It'll just be the same result. So I don't really mind anyone.
Are you interested? I mean, the gloves were off. I mean, as a scene, is that something that interests you, though?
Nah, it used to. Like, when I was young, I was, like, going to sit behind a camera and you get to say what you want and the whole world sees it.
Yeah.
Now I'm more like, I'm not really, it don't really interest me anymore.
Yeah.
I think just as you get older, a bit more mature. And, like, before, I used to be like, "Oh, I can't wait until people know who I am and like, they start asking me if they can get a picture." Like, but then when it started happening, I'm more like, I don't really, it don't really like, they don't really feel that good anymore. They don't really feel that good, or like, I've waited for years to have, like, to be this, and it's not that enjoyable.
Yeah.
I'd rather just, if I got a hard fight coming up, I'd rather be in a gym trying to train instead of sitting behind a camera entertaining people.
Yeah. I know you do hear that a lot as well, but I guess it's that whole part of trying to promote who you are as a brand, you know, and making sure that the sporting community and outside get to know who you are. So in terms of your brand, is there anything specific that you're trying to do to work on the O'Hara Davies brand?
Nah, I'm just trying to win my fights, to be
just
honest.
Knock out people.
Just trying to win my fights. Yeah, just trying to win my fights.
Tunnel vision.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all. Like, when I first got into it, it was a bit different. I had a lot of different plans. Now, ultimately, it's about getting your wins, because if you don't win, there is nothing else. Without a win, there is no brand.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like a lot of people focus on other stuff, on brand and stuff like that, and then they end up getting beat, and then they realise, oh crap, there's no brand, because I'm not worth anything, because I just got beat. So I feel like the main focus is just about getting the wins in.
Getting the wins, 100%.
Keeping your, like, your mental health. Boxing is a hard sport, and it's like, it's a lot of it's a lot on the mind, and I feel like you need to rest when you need to rest, take a break when you need to take a break. Like, I look at the career of Floyd. Sometimes he'll take off a year, 2 years, and I used to think to myself, why is he taking all these breaks when he could be earning a lot of money? Then now I'm realising it takes a lot on the mind, and sometimes you need a little break. You need a little break, and even though there might be a certain opportunity there, some opportunities you might have to turn down for the sake of your mental health.
Exactly. And it's about being re-energised and revitalised for fights. You know, it's not about, you know, some people say, oh, why a fighter's not fighting 4 or 5 times a year.
Yeah.
I don't think that's feasible. It used to happen in the past, but we saw that there was a lot of flaws with that now as well. So, so O'Hara, so we do a thing with Raps on TV, which is unique for our show, is that we have a phone line, we open up the phone lines, and we speak to a few of our callers. Typically, it's about any boxing news that's gone on in the week. So we're hoping that we should have some questions for you, if that's okay as well. So we're going to open up the lines, guys. So we're now going to be opening up to 561. 561, we're coming to you. Cedric?
Cedric, yeah.
How you doing, Cedric?
I'm not too bad. How you guys doing?
We're good. Thanks for calling in again, becoming a follower. That's what we like to see, to spread the brand. So we have O'Hara Davies in the studio with us. He had a fight last weekend against Andrea Scarpa. Is there a question that you've got for O'Hara Davies?
Yeah, O'Hara, first and foremost, I'd like to congratulate you on your last win. That was a good fight. It looked like a tough fight, and you came through it. It's really good to actually see a young British boxer coming through the ranks and doing quite well. I have just one question for you, and it's with regards to where you see yourself in terms of, if you had to have a dream fight in the next 4 or 5 months, who would you want to actually fight?
To me, a dream fight is not who I'd want to fight, is how much money they pay me to fight. A fight that's going to pay me a lot of money, that would be my dream fight. There's no person that I would want to fight. As you know, boxing is a business, so show me the money, and it's my dream.
Nice. No, you know, I can appreciate.
Who's the biggest money fight, do you think, other than O'Hara at 140?
Whoever's the world champions. Whoever's the world champions.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I'm really... that's what I'm really aiming for. That's what I want to go to. So I want to go up a level. I know that there's been a bit of talks about me going down the British route, and haven't spoken to my coach or my manager yet or anyone about what route I'm going to take next. But I'll see them soon, and we'll sit down and discuss it about what route I'm going to take next. But I want to go onto world level now. I don't see myself wanting to go back down the level, start fighting for other titles.
Great. So thanks for that question, Cedric. We're going to be touching base on a Lomachenko-Waters fight a bit later, so stay on the line and we'll come back to you for your opinions on that. But we're going to be moving to 985. 985, the line is all yours. Hello.
Hello there. Good evening, everyone. How are you doing?
We're well. Who's speaking?
I'm speaking to Daniel Appiah out in northwest London.
How you doing, Daniel? Thanks for calling in. We enjoyed your call last week. Very energetic. So we've got O'Hara Davies in the studio with us. Is there a specific question that you've got for him at all?
Not really a specific question. I just want to tell him to just keep his head up and just keep going. I've been listening to what he's been saying. Just keep up the hard work, and We're all going to support him and get behind him. And, yeah, that's all I really want to say, really.
Yeah, thank you. It's what I need sometimes. Just, you know, after my last fight, a lot of the messages that I've been getting have been quite bad and quite negative. So it's good to when I hear someone say something positive and that tries to encourage me. I really appreciate that.
Can I say something on this show? Mm-hmm. Basically, yep. If they want to say negative stuff, fuck them. That's all I can say. Listen, you're going to get to the top. Keep doing your hill runs. Keep training. Keep working hard. And then you can ram the criticism down their throats, can't you?
Thank you very much, Daniel, for calling in. So again, stay on the line. We're going to talk about Lomachenko Walters shortly. We're now moving to 855. 855.
It's Khalil.
Hi, Khalil.
I got a question for O'Hara.
Okay, perfect.
What's going on with that stuff with Spencer Fearon on Twitter, man? I thought you guys were boys.
We used to be boys, but I don't know. He's gone to the other side now. Today, I don't know what he's... I don't know what happened to him, but he's been... saying a few negative things about me online. What he usually does after my fights, he usually phones me and lets me know how he thought the fight was. But this time, he didn't phone me. He just went right online and started saying, Harry Davis didn't do good, Taylor would beat him, blah, blah, blah. So I'm more thinking, like, if you've got anything to say, then you can phone me. But, so we kind of just had a disagreement. Spencer's just been a sheep. He's been seeing whatever he's been saying on Twitter and he just kind of drained in.
Do you not think he's getting pressure from Sky? Like, they're saying that he only, like, you know, he's got boys that he only, like, promotes. So if he does promote you, keep promoting you, then it's not really doing well. Like, he's not being objective. So there's a bit of that as well. He's trying to, like, do his job at the same time.
What he says on Twitter has got nothing to do with Sky. The only thing that's got to do with Sky is what he says when he's on the show. Whatever he sends up online on Twitter, that's got to do with... That's his own views. That's his own views and his own thoughts. So that's got nothing to do with Sky Sports, to be honest.
Anyway, good.
Thank you. But when you look at what Spencer's done as a boxer, Spencer hasn't even won a Southern Area title. He lost three fights that were for Southern Area titles. I won the English title and I just won the WBC silver. So he needs to stick to doing what he does, all the talking, and I stick to what I do, the fighting.
No, respect. Anyway, good win, man. Thank you. Keep going.
Khalil, that's all?
Yeah, cool.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So listen, Khalil, stay on the line. We're going to talk about Lomachenko Walters later, so it'll be great to get your opinion. Cheers. So, we spoke about, obviously, the Fearon thing, and I think, in my opinion, you guys have known each other, so hopefully you get that sorted. It seems to be a lot of sort of like...
Sword. I don't think there is anything to sort out. Now I know what kind of person he is. I'll stay out his way and he'll stay out my way. It's just sad to see that what kind of person he is. I didn't expect that from him. But Spencer's a sheep and a snake and every other bad word that there is. I've got zero respect for him right now. And if he ever sees me, he should just walk straight past me.
Okay. You're not mincing your words there, so that's what we want. You know, we expect the boxers and our fans also don't mince their words. So you know, it's up for open dialogue. As you probably know, we work within the world of boxing, so it'll be interesting to see, you know, I say what Fearon feels. But you know, again, your opinions are your opinions, Ohio. So yeah, we totally respect that. Further questions?
Yeah. December 10th, Dillian White and Chisora kick off. Yeah. Who wins?
I don't know. It's going to be a tough fight. Dillian White is a lot more young, fresh, hungry, I'd say. You know, Derek's already been there. Derek's already been where Dillian hasn't been, on the stages where Dillian hasn't been. But Derek's not a guy to overlook. And I know that the whole animosity that they've had for this fight, that how Derek's going to work hard and be in good shape, in better shape than he was in his last few fights. So Dillian White's got to make sure that he's just on his game, make sure that he brings his A game, and I reckon Dillian White could win as long as he brings his A game.
Yeah, I mean, do you think he can KO Chisora?
I don't see that fight going to points.
Really?
I don't see that fight going to points.
Right. I mean, the way I see it, like, Klitschko couldn't put down Chisora, really. You know.
Yeah.
Dillian White, his last two fights, you know, he didn't put down Dave Allen and Ian Lewison as well.
Yeah.
You know, so I can't see how he's going to put down someone like Chisora in honesty. So I can see it just going to points. That's how I see it.
Yeah, I mean, it would also, I think Chisora is also a key factor in this. Yes, he's fighting, but I think if it's the Chisora that turned up against, you know, maybe a Fury, then we don't know, we kind of know the way the fight's going to go. But I think it's the Chisora that turned up against Klitschko, Jennings. You know, he clearly trained hard. He clearly wanted the fight as well. I think then, you know, it's going to make it for an intriguing contest. You know, who's going to win? I guess December the 10th, we're going to find out and see. But yeah, it's definitely a big, big fight on these shores, I would say, at the heavyweight British division. So we've had a bit of controversy this week, O'Hara. I think everybody's been speaking about it. Dehaye versus Bellew, which was obviously announced. What's your thoughts on that fight? And are you going to watch it?
I don't know if I'm going to watch it, to be honest. I don't know. You asked me before, I was saying, hell yeah, I'm going there.
Yeah.
But now, I don't really care about anyone else. I just care about me, myself, to be honest, and what progress I'm going to be making. So I don't think I'll be going there. Unless if I could be on a bill. If I'm on a bill, I'll be there because I'm fighting. If I'm not fighting in it, I won't be there. But it's going to be an exciting fight. I've seen the press conference, the build-up, and it's all looking good. I don't know who's going to win. But yeah, it'll be a good fight.
Yeah.
I mean, do you not think it's safe to say that Hayes is going to win?
No. Tony Bellew's good. I rate Tony Bellew. All it takes is just one shot from him and you're out. So Hayes got to be on his A game. And then again, Hayes not anyone to mess with either, so they both got to be in the A game. But that Tony Bellew can hit really hard. And all it takes is that one shot. Man, Tony Bellew just fights like a man that's just angry. He's always angry. And like, I've seen him in person, like anytime I've seen him, he's smiled and been quite happy. But I just think that he's angry. He just gets angry when he sees anyone that's in his weight class. I reckon as soon as he sees anyone that's in his weight class, he just sees red. But with me, I'm only a super lightweight, so he don't really care. But anyone that's in his weight class, he just hates them with like a passion. And you can tell that the hatred isn't fake. He's the guy that's actually angry.
Yeah.
Do you think it's genuine though when he hates Hay for his last two fights? Do you think that's genuine?
No, I think he hates some of the habits that Hay does. Like he thinks some stuff that Hay does, they quite annoy him. He thinks that Hay thinks that he's like a whole like a Hollywood actor, celebrity, you know, the big hair, the glasses, and like, you know what I mean? Just that kind of stuff that just gets on his nerves.
Right.
And so.
And I have to say, I agree with what Howard was saying. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion for Hay. I think Hay is a tough competitor. We know he's got the power at heavyweight. I think there's a lot of intangibles that make this fight intriguing. So David Hay's been inactive for quite a while. The guys he's fought, let's be honest, there weren't really any tune-up type of fights. Bellew's got a lot of confidence at the moment. You know, he's a cruiserweight champion. For him, he's got nothing to lose. Everybody's saying big payday. I don't believe that this is a big payday for Bellew. I think that he wants to try and cement something for himself in terms of his legacy. So I do think, you know, there's a lot of intangibles that make this fight a lot closer. David Hay, as much as he's got great power, his stamina is not as key. Whereas Bellew's shown that he's gone the distance. Again, his chin has been questioned, but he's fought really tough guys. You know, Stevenson is a heavy hitter. So for me, I think this fight, I'm looking forward to it, I have to say. I think it's going to be really intriguing, and yeah, I can't wait for it.
Yeah, I mean, if we've learned anything about boxing in November, it's that then nothing is a foregone conclusion.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw with the Ward Kovalev fight, and then we also saw the effects of a long layoff recently with Lomachenko Waters fight.
Yeah.
So yeah, I agree with you as well. Like, yeah. There's no foregone conclusions here.
I mean, the way I see it, you know, Bellew, I see him blowing off. Most press conferences blows off, but yesterday after Hay turned on him, I think he looked scared, man, to be honest. He wasn't the same Bellew. And afterwards on IFL, he's saying, Hay's a thug, I don't know, do stuff like that. I'm thinking, hold on, Bellew, you know, he's the bully. Bellew's always the bully, isn't he? I mean, if we're honest, yeah.
I mean, he's mouthy, as you know. I think bully's a bit strong. I think he is mouthy, but I think, you know, he's a confident person and, you know, he likes to, it's an intimidating sport sometimes, I think, boxing. So, you know, you can't always be nice and pleasant, you know, the way Anthony Joshua is. Sometimes you just have to open your mouth, and he's had a few battles, so bully's a bit strong, but yeah. I think that he was definitely surprised that Hay threw the punch, and his post-match interview kind of suggested that. So in terms of, you know, we spoke so much with you, O'Hara, and we spoke about the match from Card. So there was a couple of other highlights on the night, some good prospects. Katie Taylor was one, which is the obvious one. Did you get to see her fight at all?
I think I saw like 30 seconds of her fight because I was in the change room getting warmed up because I was the fight after her. Yeah, I heard she done well.
Yeah.
She's achieved lots as an amateur, so you can nothing but wish her all the best.
Yeah, and you just hope that women's boxing kind of takes on and we get more opponents for her to kind of build a legacy. Yeah. I think I thought she was a great talent, great combinations, you know, good speed. She really took out her opponent really quickly. So on the other on the night as well, we saw Bellotti take this English championship, which was a good result for him.
Reece Bellotti fought good. He fought against the person that came to fight.
Yeah.
That Ian Bailey, he came to fight. That fight wasn't easy for him.
That was not an easy.
And Ian Bailey's a lot more experienced than Reece is, but Reece done good. He handled it well. At times I thought this fight could go either way.
Yeah.
But Reece showed that he's got not only the fitness, the heart, and he's not that experienced, but he showed experience.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And he done his thing.
He came through there, and then obviously we had Craig Richards. He's also somebody that you know closely. He took care of his opponent in the second round. Did you get to see that at all?
I was backstage watching that. Craig Richards, he just made easy work of his opponent. He's had a couple of hard fights, and this fight was a lot easier than his past fights were.
Yeah.
So yeah,
I mean, for Craig Richards, for me, I have to say, I think for 2017 is a big year for him.
Yeah.
He's somebody I tipped to start moving up the Matchroom sort of lists.
I think he wants a step up now. I think he's kind of fed up of fighting people that he can just kind of do easily. I think he wants a Sabineria title fight or an English title fight now. And that's what he should be getting because he's had enough fights now. So he needs to start getting up there.
Yeah, he's definitely got the ability to get to that level as well.
Who's got the Southern title? Who?
I had no idea.
So then obviously we had two contests where we saw Jake Ball and Ben Hall obviously lost their fights. So the Jake Bell stoppage, that was... I was entertaining, but that was quite, you know, that was a big shock,
that
really.
That was a brutal shot. I think that he should have taken his time a lot more. I feel like when he caught him, he kind of rushed in and left himself open to get hit.
Yeah.
Which is what I didn't want to do in my fight, which is why I didn't open up.
Yeah.
Because I'm not opening up to possibly get hit. Even if I get someone and they kind of buckle, I'm still going to keep calm and be smart, keep my distance. Because in boxing, all it takes is that one punch that can change anything.
Exactly.
And that's what happened to Jake Ball. He got hit with a punch and he didn't recover.
Yeah.
He didn't recover and the knockout just ended things. It was quite brutal.
Yeah. And so that we totally agree with you that he seems to be fine now as well. So we're happy. I know he was rushed to hospital, but he seems to be in a stable condition now. So, you know, for all the fighters on that night, you know, we wish them all the best. And, you know, win or losses, you just got to continue with your career.
Yeah.
So another big fight. Not sure if you caught it. It was very early hours in the morning. Yeah. Lomachenko versus Walters. In terms of the result, you know, we've all seen that Walters practically said no mas and gave up.
Yeah.
What was your thoughts on the fight?
I didn't watch the fight. I heard that Nicholas Walters gave up.
Yeah. What's your thoughts on Lomachenko?
He's good.
Yeah.
He's good. I've seen him fight. I've seen a few clips of him fight. He's not in my weight class.
Yeah, no.
So I don't really care about him, to be honest. I don't watch him. He's quite skillful and good.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
that's his weight class. I want to watch people that I can be fighting against in the future. And he's not one of them.
Yeah, and I think, you know, in terms of the performance of the guys, for our listeners, obviously he was, he stopped Walters. Walters gave up at the end of the sixth round.
Yeah.
I have to say, I thought it was a really good performance from Lomachenko. He showed great range, you know, good combinations. He got close up to the body with some great shots. And there was a funny moment at the end of the sixth round when they both went to their separate corners. Lomachenko looked back at Walters and kind of, it was either a hurry up and come back or it was like, you better quit, because he kind of just waved his hand at him and it was just like he had a very mean look in his eyes. So I thought that was quite telling. There was noise around, you know, Walters saying he didn't feel he had enough tune-up fights or he wasn't readily prepared.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a fighter. In the mind of a fighter, if you're not bright or you're not prepared for a fight, what do you do?
If you're not mentally ready, then you've got to let everyone know early.
Yeah.
If I'm not ready for a fight or if I'm not ready to get back into camp now, I will let everyone know I'm not ready to get back into camp, so... You got to change what day I'm on a show or what show I'm on. You can't blame anyone. You can't give any excuses. That's your fault. You got beat. Just say I got beat hands down. If I know that I'm ill and I still go in a fight and I get beat, there is no excuses. If there's an excuse, then you postpone the fight or you do something so you can maximize your chance of getting a win.
Yeah.
And there ain't no excuse. You can't say I never felt good. Yeah, you never felt good because you were getting hit.
Very true.
That's the only excuse.
Well, I mean, I'll probably say the similar kind of thing. You can't, you can't say something like that after the fight, you know, because it's almost like calling the fans as well. I mean, he's going to have a whole country behind him, and have all the fans behind him. People have paid for tickets.
People
you know,
have gambled as well.
People have gambled. There's all these kind of things. There's all these kind of factors. People have lost out, really. I mean, when you come and say something, you just better just shut up and not say anything, in my opinion, you know?
And Dinaz, you caught the fight? What was your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I mean, if you remember in last week's podcast, I did say that I think that the layoff would be a big issue here.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I felt like Walls was doing all right. He was doing all right. Mm. We felt that Lomachenko was going to have the edge in this fight anyway. But it was a shame to see him quit like that. I mean, I'm sure he doesn't feel like it went the way he wanted to. But now with that ending, he definitely, you know, he probably regrets ending it in that way, in that manner.
Well, I think he was completely schooled, though, wasn't he?
100%.
He's just going to deal with Lomachenko's footwork, the way he just moves in there. He's just going to deal with him at all.
You have to think,
like, in one night, he's lost a fight, he's lost his kind of rep, and he's lost his undefeated record all in one night, so...
Yeah, I guess there's a lot to take. So let's quickly go back out to the phone lines. So we're going to go back out to 561. 561, I believe that is Cedric.
Yes.
Hi, Cedric. So do you want to give us your thoughts on the Lomachenko-Walters fight?
Considering I actually woke up for that fight, I was very disappointed, to be honest. The fight started off, I didn't think that Walters was completely getting battered. It wasn't as if he was just hanging on for dear life to start with. And I was just really disappointed that he gave up when he did. I mean, I heard his explanation afterwards, but again, I was always of the impression that boxing etiquette required for you to actually stay in the fight until, you know, you either got knocked out or there was just nothing left in the tank. He was healthy, he was talking, he was conscious, he was cognitive, so I don't really understand why he gave up. I suppose it was probably down to frustration, but to me, it was really disappointing. And the other thing that I might also want to add to that is that, you know, you have to think about the people who've actually paid to watch this fight and so forth and so on. I mean, I get that, you know, he wanted to protect himself, but I don't get it. I don't get it. To me, it was a big, massive disappointment. On the Lomachenko side, I think this guy is fucking amazing. He is a fantastic boxer from what I've actually seen. From the little I know of him, excellent boxer.
Great. No, thank you very much for your comments there, Cedric. Thanks for calling in again, and we'll speak to you soon. So we're going to go out to 060-060. The line is yours. Hello.
Yes, lads. How's it going?
Not too bad. Who are we speaking with?
Yeah, Shane, man.
How you doing, Shane? So, Shane, what do you want to talk to us about?
Yeah, Lomachenko Walters, mate. First and foremost, though, big up my man. All congrats on the win and all of that. And, man, stay focused, man. Don't worry about haters and all of that.
Thanks.
Part and parcel of where you're going, mate. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're heading in the right direction. Yeah, the Walters Lomachenko, mate. I was thinking, boy, where's this going now? Because Lomachenko is probably, possibly, one of the, if not the, best technical boxers who's active right now. And I mean, as in doing all the basics so well that it makes him look like some type of demigod coming up.
Yeah.
It's just weird. I mean, I love Rigondeaux, for example, but his defense ain't too great. Mm. Lomachenko's defense is great. His offense is good. His foot placement is great. It always has been. Yeah, Walters, he's got that wide stance. And you're taught that in boxing, that wide stance isn't going to be your best friend, but he relies on his quick reactions and that knockout punch, obviously. Yeah, with Lomachenko, he just knew how to circumnavigate that, kept his feet on the outside, so forth. It's uncoming. Yep. Look, Walters just had no answer for him. He couldn't get the right hand on him. Without that right hand, he took away his best weapon. Without that, he was just frustrated. Yeah, and it just came to a head. And I think that little gesture, like what you're saying, you know, he put his hand up, I think that just got to him a bit too much. And he basically murdered the axe murderer.
Yeah,
and it was sad to see. I don't know, where does Walters go from here, though?
I mean,
where
that was...
Where does he go from here? How does he take this? Because it was not just a loss, it was a shutout.
Yeah,
that's his first loss, and it was a shutout. Where does he go from this?
I mean, I think for me, Walters, if he's able to pick up this career, which I believe he will, but I think whoever he fights now, if he knocks the opponent out and it's a credible guy, I think it's just going to show the levels that Lomachenko is. So he's going to, I don't want to say a gatekeeper, but it's going to be a tricky positioning for him as well. Also, who's going to be a tune-up fight for him? You know, he's going to have a bad reputation. Is he going to sell tickets? You know, he's not a home fighter in terms of being based in the US. So I think that's going to be an interesting sort of next 12 to 18 months for him in terms of how he comes back. I guess a quick question for you, Shane, is who would you like to see Lomachenko face next?
Mate, to be honest, I've been out of the game for so long. Yeah, I'm working so hard. I just knew that fight was coming up. I said, right, yeah, I know these two. I'm watching it. Who else is in the weight division?
I mean, there's quite a few names in the weight division, but there's talk of a Pacquiao. Obviously, he's got a loss to Salido.
What's the weight differential between him and Lomachenko?
Yeah, it's about it's about 12 pounds.
17 pounds.
So yeah, it's about 12, 17 pounds.
So what, could they probably meet in the middle or something? What, is Pacquiao a bit smaller than him, right?
Yeah, Pacquiao's a bit bigger than him, actually. So it'll be interesting to see how Pacquiao could drop that weight. I don't think that's something that is really worth exploring unless Aram's trying to pass the torch to Lomachenko. I think there's a couple of UK fighters that could be interested.
What about Rigo?
Again, the weight. What do you think about
the
weight?
Man, it could meet up about 130.
But would Lomachenko want to drain for Rigo? That's the question.
Yeah, it's probably like 4 pounds, really, when you think about it.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's definitely an option. And I know Rigondeaux's called him out. So Rigondeaux, the infamous Cuban fighter that pretty much like our guest in the studio, was avoided for the longest of times. He's called out Lomachenko. So we're going to see what happens there. So listen, Shane, thank you for calling in. Keep listening to the show. Keep sharing us on social media.
O'Hara, how do you feel about moving up division? I'm not for now, but do you feel that there's a case for fighters to move up divisions and, you know, conquer different weight classes?
I've just gone up in weight, and I don't believe that you should go up and that there's a need to go up in weight to conquer another weight division unless you need to. Mm-hmm. Like, if I could make the weight that I was easily, I would have stayed at that weight throughout my whole boxing career.
Mm-hmm.
There's no point in going up in weight and giving another man advantage, because when you go up in weight, they've always got the size advantage. Because like, they're more natural at that weight, or they're coming down from above and you're going up. So I wouldn't want to give anyone that advantage. You've got enough contenders now at each weight class.
Mm-hmm.
So if it was up to me, I'll just keep at whatever weight I am, and
And just dominate, clear out the division.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which one's the money division?
Pardon?
Which one's the money division?
Money, I think there's a money in a lot of them. It's just about whether the fight's going to sell or not. It's just about who's in the way and whether the fight's going to sell. Now, money's everywhere. It's just entertaining fight. Look at, like, the Belu Hay fight. The fight sells because it's entertaining. Some fights, there were some heavyweight fights that don't sell at all. Mm. Then you got the Joshua fights that sell lots because it's about who it is in there.
Mm. Regardless of who's fighting.
Yeah. So I feel like it's about the person.
So we've got a couple of more calls. So we're going to go out on the lines to 464. 464, the line's open and the floor's all yours. Hello?
Hi. You're
who
right.
Who are we speaking to?
It's Shamara.
Hi, Shamara. What would you like to talk to us about today, Shamara?
If I can, I just wanted to go back and talk about the Dylan White and Chisora fight.
Yep.
Because it seemed like there was more leaning towards Chisora winning that fight. I quite disagree with that, actually. I think Dylan White, when he's fighting someone who he has a genuine issue with, I think potentially he could surprise us. And we saw that with Anthony Joshua. And I don't even think Anthony provoked him as much as Chisora had, if I'm honest. So I'm actually quite confident that Dylan might take that fight.
Yeah, no, I think to be honest, I think he's probably the favourite. If you were to look at the odds and check with the bookies, I think he is the favourite. So, yeah, definitely a lot of people agree with you, Shamar.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. Obviously, Chisora can take a punch. There's no doubt about that. I think it will go a few rounds, to be honest, quite a few rounds. But I would say that would be a knockout.
Wicked. No, thank you very much. So we're going to move on, Shamara, but thank you very much for calling in. And we're going to go to our last caller of the night, 478, the line and the floor is yours.
Good evening, guys. My name's Jeff.
Hi, Jeff. How you doing?
Yeah, not bad, guys. Really enjoying your podcast tonight. Really cool.
Thank you.
I just wanted to talk about the David Haye against Belu fight.
Okay, go ahead.
I kind of think that people are kind of missing something here, because if you're saying that it's almost a pick'em sort of 50-50 bout, then you're basically saying that Belu could take out White and Chisora and give AJ a tough fight, which I think each one of them would beat him, and I think Haye demolishes him, and it's one of those match room mismatches.
So you're not buying into this being a fair fight, Jeff?
No, I think personally it's they're cooking it up to sell pay-per-view buys. And literally, it's gonna, he's going to absolutely waste him. It's going to be like when he took out Chisora in five rounds, or probably worse.
Yeah, so you're predicting a knockout in five rounds for David Haye?
Yeah, with him.
Within five rounds, yeah? No, and to be honest, I think, you know, if you look at a lot of the blogs or you look on online, you do see that Haye is clearly the favourite in everybody's mind. I think, for my opinion, I just feel Belly shouldn't be ruled out, but Inam obviously agrees with you. On the panel, he clearly agrees with you in terms of Belly is going to get knocked out.
100%. Obviously, it's up to Haye, mate. Whenever he wants to finish it, we'll finish it.
That's, whatever rounds.
Yeah.
Perfect. I know you guys were talking about people that are like, that are kind of, I guess, bullies. And you kind of see in certain fighters where they're really spiteful. It's almost like the kid in the playground that really wants to fight. And Haye has that about him. You see, when he really knows that he can take somebody out, he's like a little bully in the ring. And I don't know if it's just me seeing something that probably is not there, but that's what I see when I see it.
It's definitely all subjective. And I will say this, you know, through this sort of press conference or since the announcement, I do feel that there's more spite to David Haye. Usually he's a little bit more calm and composed in press conferences, but he definitely had an agenda. He had a sort of a prescribed script that he wanted to kind of attack. You know, you saw what he said with Hearn. You saw, obviously, what he said directly at Belly. So I do think you're right in terms of the spitefulness. Again, yeah, I just think it's going to be an interesting fight. So, Jeff, thank you very much for the call. Appreciate your time and speak soon. So, yeah, so it seems like the public are kind of slightly in favour of yourself in terms of Haye Belly. They're agreeing with you. So I think that's...
I mean, I think besides O'Hara, I've not heard anyone say, like...
Yeah.
It's a 50-50 or Belly's got a chance. I think generally everyone's just saying he's going to go out even four.
Yeah, so we see. I mean, that's boxing as well. Everything, there's always upsets.
Everyone's
we
all got predicted, a puncher's chance.
Precisely. So. We all predicted Klitschko to beat Fury and look at that. That was a unanimous. So just touching before we go towards the end of the show, we're going to go through our wrap-up. So obviously we saw last week Anthony Yards got a knockout. Great, good performance from him. I think he probably needs to get some longer fights if he can. What's your fight? Were you there in attendance?
I wasn't there because I'm usually at his fights, but I fought the day after. So
of course.
This time I missed his fight, but he still had to come back to my fight.
Yeah.
That was a good performance. The shot he ended the fight with wasn't a hard shot, but he caught him in the right place. And that's what boxing's about. It's not about the power, it's about hitting him in the right place, and that's what he's done. He's a smart boxer. I've known him from when he first got into boxing, and I've only seen progress, and it's time to up the levels now, and I believe that that's what he'll do.
Yeah.
I believe that from now on that he's going to start upping all the levels and start fighting better opponents and making them look the same.
Yeah.
Making them look the same as all the current opponents have been looking.
Yeah.
And I feel like he'll go a long way in boxing.
Yeah, he's definitely got an interest in 2017.
Yeah.
Obviously, we saw victories as well for Bradley Skeet, Boy Jones Jr. and Toby Flanagan last weekend as well. So those were good performances.
Yeah.
Any one of those stand out for you? Or
Bradley Skeet's really good. I've always rated Bradley Skeet. Should have more exposure for the talent that he's got. He should have more exposure, but he's doing really good.
Yeah.
And I think he'll go really far in boxing.
Yeah.
Boy Jones Jr., I didn't see his fight, but I've heard, I've sparred him once or twice in the gym. So, yeah.
Tough kid?
Yeah, tough kid. Willing to learn, humble.
Yeah.
And, hope he can go far in boxing.
Okay.
Terry Flanagan, I don't know, I've never seen him fight, but he's world champion, so you can't take anything away from him.
No, that was, and it was a good performance for him. He got a good stoppage on Orlando Cruz, so there was a lot of eyes on that fight for various reasons and more specific ones. But it was a good performance for him. I think next year he needs to be looking at, you know, his rivals in the division and trying to unify before he decides to maybe go up. So, I think that was the big fights this weekend. Guys, questions from you?
No, I think, just like really just want to say thank you for Harvey for coming in. I just want to say I thought it was a fantastic performance and just want to wish you the best of luck for the future.
Thanks.
Yeah, we can't wait to see your next fight. But before you go, I have one question for you.
What's that?
When are we going to see you on TOWIE?
On TOWIE. I don't know. I've actually been in there a couple of times in the background scenes.
Okay.
A bit before I turned pro. Obviously, me and Arjun have been good mates from even before I turned pro. And he managed to get me in a few background scenes. And anyone that saw me in there, my phone was going off. I was getting texts and phone calls.
Really popular show.
But I don't think that show is really for me. I've actually asked Arjun if he can get me on a show. But he was saying, oh, you're too big for the show. And I'm thinking, I've got 1,000 followers and you've got 1.5 million followers. But I don't think that show's for me. It's going to stick to my field.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay. All right, then.
No, good. So, again, thank you for coming to the show, Harold. Mm-hmm. You know, it's Raps on TV, the latest in podcast that mm-hmm. interacts with the guests, as you saw today. Mm-hmm. We feel that that's a really good platform for everybody in the industry to kind of interact with fans and get the feedback. And as you said earlier, get a bit of a push in, you know, to get in. Positive messages from fans telling you to stick to it. Mm-hmm. The negativity, you know, ignore it. You know, what do they say? If you're doing something right, the haters usually follow you right by your side.
Like you said, you woke up as champions. So.
Yeah, exactly. You know, those are buzzes to have. So so I think it's a price to pay, but, you know, we think you're dealing with it well. We'll keep following you on Twitter and seeing any war of words. But again, you know, from the Raps On team, really thank you for coming onto the show today. And for all our listeners and callers, thank you again. Keep listening out for more news and information from Raps On TV, the latest place for boxing in the UK. Fans Talking Boxing.